This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
And welcome to this edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. I want to talk about a subject that I don't think is has been looked at a whole lot, and I'm glad that Pastor Mark Musser has written a book called Nazi Oaks, The Green Sacrifice of the Judeo-Christian Worldview in the Holocaust. And one way of summarizing why that title of Nazi Oaks is that German paganism put a lot of significance in the big old oak trees, and they tended to look at them very mystically, romantically, really kind of religiously. And they were more concerned about oak trees than they were about the people they were mass murdering during the Nazi period. In fact, one of the things that struck me, Mr. Musser, is the what would you call it? The door prize, the little favor that was given out by Der Führer himself during the Olympic Games for the contestants, oak seedlings. They're really into oak trees, aren't they?
Yes, they gave oak trees to all the gold medal winners. Hitler didn't do it personally, but Germany, you know, the leaders that ran the Olympic Games, they made sure that those oak trees are passed out to every gold medal winner. Jesse Owens went home with four of them. Glenn Morris, another one that we had, he went home with, I don't know, one or two. I can't remember how many he, you know, that he actually did. And so, yeah, everybody went home with the oak trees. Some of the oak trees are still alive, and they were planted and are still alive in certain places. And some guys have tried to go find them all, but only a few have been found. Very interesting.
Well,
yes.
The Nazis were clearly into loving nature. They would much rather hug an oak tree than a Jew, that's for sure. And they didn't like Christians terribly much either. It almost makes me think that there's something similar in the hostility to Christianity that the Nazis harbored with what you're seeing on the college campuses today. Ironically, you come from, you graduated from one of the most environmentally sensitive, shall we say, others might say extreme, places, Evergreen College, which is not too long ago been in the news for just how nutty they are. And it looks as if the chickens that they themselves hatched were coming back home to roost. All the lefty little children that they were indoctrinating decided to take them up on it and just trash the place. It's extraordinary. And this is not something that would have been unimaginable in Nazi times either, because the world views are so similar.
Yeah, you know, the whole point of the oak tree, for example, this goes back to the sacred ancient German paganism. What the point of it was, it emphasized fertility. So, you know, the oak trees are fertile. Sacrifice, so say all of the religious activities that they would offer, maybe animal sacrifices or sometimes even human sacrifice underneath the oak trees. And the other thing oak trees represent was power. And so this pagan idea really became at the forefront of German thinking for many years. I mean, that's part of their pagan culture. And then, of course, you know, Germany has its struggles over the years. They're divided for many years, many centuries, in fact. And then they, of course, the Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther. But then in the 1800s, they started to drift away from the Protestant Reformation. They started to go back to nature. And so they got away from the Bible. They started going back to nature, and they started worshiping nature. And so they started to come up with philosophies about nature and man. That the first three chapters of my book deals with it. It's a difficult subject. You start dealing with philosophies of nature and man, and we'll just keep it simple as far as the interview goes. But they developed this, and it was really geared against Jews and against ultimately against Christians as well, against the Bible. Because, see, in the Bible, you have man is made in God's image. So that means he's above nature. And then you have Genesis.
And that's the heresy that these folks were clearly at war with from their point of view.
Yeah. And when I was at the Evergreen State College, see, this became a big deal. I was a young Christian guy, went to Evergreen State College, took a course called Political Ecology, and one of the things they always hammered about, you know, they talked about and criticized it, is how Christians, they view themselves as made in God's image or above nature, and this has led to the ecological disaster that we have all around us because we can treat nature with harshness and nobody cares. So this was a common discussion, you know, among the ecological people there at Evergreen State College. So they were blaming Christianity for this. Of course, the Puritans came in. They're invasive species. They come into, you know, America. They destroy the American wilderness and turn it into farms and fields and churches and market towns. And so they criticized that along with it.
Weren't Jews viewed as an invasive species in Europe by the Germans?
Yes, so that's where I'm headed now. See, when I, 85, I didn't realize when I was going to college that the same argument, only even much deeper and more pervasive, the same arguments were directed against Jews in Germany. For example, Henry David Thoreau is like what we would call an early American hippie. And he's out there all by himself, and he's criticizing the Puritans for their ecological destruction. Okay, but he's just one guy. No, you know, nobody cared. Everybody ignored him. Now, in Germany, okay, the guys that are criticizing the Jews, okay, they are running the academic halls of Germany. Okay, they're teaching them in the universities, and so they're blaming the Jews for the same type of thing. And then when I saw those parallels many years later, then I said, oh, wow, I need to write a book here because I never saw those things before. And as plain as day.
No, I'm sure nobody was teaching them to you, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, exactly. And what I found out is that the German philosophy behind that was actually much deeper and more robust than what we even saw at Evergreen State College, and it was geared against the Jewish people. So then I got to write a book. So I did.
And I guess today the modern American consumer would be pretty close to the viewed the same way as the Jew, the consumer, the invasive species who is using up all the natural resources and completely changing nature. And that's the blasphemy that their religion won't tolerate.
Exactly. You know, some of you may have heard of Aldo Leopold. He's what we consider the father of deep ecology in America. And he criticized what he called the Abrahamic concept of the land. See, that, you know, that's where you're going to turn the wilderness into a farm, okay? And so, you know, you own the property. It's private property. And so then you can use the property as you wish. And so he was against that because he said that led to the Dust Bowl, that led to the ecological destruction we see all around us, and it led to pollution, all this type of stuff that we've been really indoctrinated with. And so what they're doing, they're criticizing the biblical view of land, you know, land, man, and nature, and God, of course, along with it. And Aldo Leopold's at the heart of that. And by the way, Aldo Leopold started leaning deeply toward what we call deep ecology after his visit to Nazi Germany in the mid-1930s. So he was there for 3 months. The Nazis gave him a three-month, I think, I'm not sure if it's 3 months. He was there for several months, and they paid for everything. And the whole point of his going there was to look at the new environmental direction that the Nazis were taking. And he was criticized a few things, but for the most part, he was actually complimentary of what they were doing. So Aldo Leopold, you know, interestingly enough, spent time in Nazi Germany in the mid-1930s. No one talks about this. And after he gets home, he changes from being a conservationist to an environmentalist. And conservationism is what I am. You know, you conserve things, and
Right.
This is what I call classic, what we should be emphasizing. We conserve our resources in a smart and wise way, but we don't forbid, you know, the use of them. And environmentalism is more radical. It's rooted in these German philosophies that were really against people. It's against, man, especially Judeo-Christian values, which help really lay the foundations for America. And these things are criticized heavily, especially today in the environmental movement. And they don't even know where these ideas have come from. They've come from Germany. And these German ideas played a significant role in the rise of National Socialism.
Well, your own background is I guess, as heretical as it could possibly be, Mark Musser. You graduate from Evergreen College, but now you've become a Christian minister and believe in the dominion mandate of the book of Genesis. Oh, my, such heresy. We're going to be back and talk some more about Nazi Oaks with Reverend Mark Musser.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from Superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the doll.
I'll get the kids.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Talking today with Reverend Mark Musser, the author of Nazi Oaks, and I must say, I wasn't really sure why the title until I read the book, and then it becomes clear that the oak would be perhaps something like maybe in a Catholic church, a representation of Mary or something like that, but a very sacred object. And it comes right out of German Romanticism. It was picked up by the Nazis, and they were great lovers of oaks. In fact, in one part of your book, Pastor Musser, you talk about the beautiful little parkland that had been set up at one end of the area where the crematorium was for the slaughter and elimination of the Jews at the other end of this this area that had been created by the Nazis. And for them, that, I guess, was just a perfectly natural, logical way to do things.
That was at Treblinka, and on one side of the camp, you know, the administrator who ran this camp made it very beautiful for the German leaders. They had a little zoo for the SS to enjoy. In fact, they were probably involved. I can't prove it, but probably were involved in recovering foxes because they had them there, and more than likely they were trying to. The SS was all into foxes. They wanted to repopulate.
You know that reminded me when I read. I remember making a note in the book of the movie The Zookeeper's Wife.
Yeah,
and
right.
If you've seen it, it would seem, but basically
I read
it depicted
that part, yeah.
And it depicted the green messianic fervor of the Nazis, and it just was extraordinary that they would have these things going on, and it was perfectly compatible in their own mind that they could be doing such horrific things even while they were, if you will, hugging a tree.
Well, it's the law of the jungle, okay? I mean, this is the point. If you get away from Judeo-Christian values, okay, then what happens? You're left with nature alone, and then nature becomes your guide. And then nature, what is that? We see all kinds of evil in nature in terms
it's
of suffering.
Red tooth.
Predators, yes. Predators eat up animals, and so they just went back to nature completely in terms of their philosophy, and it was okay to eat up people because that's what predators do in nature. I mean, there's all kinds of references, that kind of thinking that invaded their minds, so... It was their mind was gone. Okay, it was so immersed in nature that they quit thinking about other people.
But they were into recycling, so they would shave their victims' heads and use the hair, as you point out, in uniforms.
Yeah.
They would make gloves from human skin. I'd heard about the lampshades. That was macabre enough.
Yeah.
But the idea of putting the victim on you, that is really deep paganism along with the deep ecology.
Yeah, well the, it's as bad as it gets. Look, the whole, these death camps, okay, were huge. You know, like Auschwitz, okay, Treblinka, and Sobibor, okay, these death camps became huge recycling centers. I don't know about Sobibor per se, but I assume it was the same thing. But I know Treblinka was, and certainly Auschwitz, but they become huge recycling. Everything was recycled. And, you know, the recycling fetish, again, these things were born in Nazi Germany, and people don't realize where this stuff has come from. Sustainable development was essentially born in Nazi Germany. Okay, Hitler wanted to cover Ukraine with windmills. Okay, he wanted to get the power of the tides and the water and hydrogen for energy and all kinds of things that
he would eliminate the Ukrainians so that the Germans would have their living space.
Of course,
and
too many people.
Yeah, it wasn't imperialism in the traditional sense.
No.
They weren't seeking a merchant's profit. In fact, they hated merchants.
Yes.
They were all Jews, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had corrupted the pure German blood. And it was just stunning that this was their driving force. But the thing that kind of keeps my attention is that while they're not the same as the communists, they're not the same as today's socialists, they all want the same thing. They want government power so that whatever their particular nutty idea, in this case Nazi oaks, they're able to impose it, whether anybody likes it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but the first time we see environmental laws that are used to restrict private property, really, is going to be in Nazi Germany. And by that, I don't mean where you go out and set a national park aside where no one lives, okay? That's one thing. You build a national park, or you might build it, but you set it aside, preserve it. Nobody lives there, so nobody cares. When you start taking somebody's private property and start using environmental rules over what you can do with that property, now that process really began in the 1930s in Germany. They call it the Reich Nature Protection Act. Today we have, environmental impact statements. Well, in Germany back then they called them environmental effects reports. So anybody that was building something, anybody that was doing something, he had to fill out these environmental effects reports, for what he was doing. All this stuff, again, was born in Nazi Germany. So, for example, 1933, you have animal rights. A very, very strict animal rights law was passed in 33. This would be, the Führer was all behind this. The original animal rights guru was Dr. Schopenhauer back in Germany in the 1800s, and he was really against animal experimentation. Hitler loved Schopenhauer very much, and so the first thing they do pass laws 1933 is to have an animal rights law. No vivisection.
No vivisection of an animal, but it's okay
to. They did it to people.
They did. Dr. Mengele did it to people in spades. Yeah.
Yes, and Mengele is a big greener, by the way, too. People don't realize. And he was caught in South America talking about environmental destruction. In the 1970s, concerned about what's happening with the planet. So here the good doctor was a big greener at the same time. So in 33, you have this animal rights law. And one of the things that they did is forbid the Jewish kosher slaughter. That was part of, sort of the main point of that law really was to stop that practice, because the Jews, that they want to make sure all the blood is out. They go back to their Old Testament strict laws on this. And so they want to make sure before you eat meat, all the blood is gone. And the Nazis characterized that process as very cruel to animals. Then in 1934, you had a green Nazi sustainable forestry practices they tried to initiate. 35, you have the Reich Nature Protection Act. Then you have Hermann Göring, also in 34, the first real Nazi hunting laws, which are actually still pretty much in the books for all of us today. And then you have sustainable development. And so all the things that were developed, that all these environmental ideas, that they were ahead of the curve is the point. And then after the war, things kind of simmered, kind of slowed down for a while, but then they picked up again in the 1960s, 50s and 60s, and Germany, again, was at the heart of that renaissance of the environmental movement. This all happened before Rachel Carson.
And now people, we've had to fight the I think it's called the wilding movement here in our country, which is to return things to their supposed pure natural state. No man, no development, no nothing. And I guess that was really a lot of what was driving the Nazis. They just wanted to be one with nature.
Well, the Nazis, see, in Germany, in Europe, you have less wilderness, okay? And so their ideas of environmentalists are slightly different.
Well, let's pick up on that point then when we get back, the differences
of critical point
between here and there. I'm glad there are still some differences. I don't think I want to copy too much from Europe anymore. Talking about Nazi Oaks, it's written by Pastor Mark Musser, and we're going to be back and talk some more.
One-third of FBI domestic terrorism cases involve refugees. One-third. There's already been riots across Europe. Is America next? Hi, I'm the owner of Infidel Body Armor. Over the past 4 years, I've sold thousands of body armor kits and trained hundreds of sheepdogs. They have prepared. Have you? I invite you to go to my website at InfidelBodyArmor.com and click on specials. Trouble is coming. Now do something about it. InfidelBodyArmor.com. Just won't quit.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Well, as hopefully you've gathered, we're talking about oak trees today, specifically Nazi oaks, and it was part of their green religion, I guess we could put it that way. Pastor Mark Musser, ironically a graduate of Evergreen State, where these views are in as pure a form as one probably can find in the United States, but I guess, Pastor, you've committed the ultimate heresy. You've become a Christian pastor. That's exactly what they don't believe in.
No, the when you get away from Judeo-Christian values, okay, that man is made in God's image, okay, that all you have left is nature. And if nature becomes your guide and your ethics, at some point you're going to be in deep trouble. And, you know, the only thing that's sort of holding things together, what's left of the Judeo-Christian worldview in our own society today is really the Bible and its biblical ethics, and those things are really melting away fast. And then once those things are gone, okay, all you have is nature, and then you're left to the predatory world of whoever wants to be king, as you mentioned earlier, and they will force their worldviews on top of you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, this is where we're headed as we – this is what I'm concerned about as I see this kind of stuff going on. And if nature alone is your guide, the laws of the jungle will prevail, and people are going to be, you know, treated as such. And that's already happened once. The whole point of my book is that when I talk about ecofascism, I'm not talking about, you know, as a metaphor. Okay, I'm not slinging this term around as if it's, you know, like that guy's a eco-Nazi, you know, in a pejorative term. The point is I'm talking about real history here. Okay, but we're not talking about metaphors. This is a real historical lesson. And eco-fascism played a role under Nazi Germany. Okay, this is where a lot of our environmental ideas actually were first born. And they played a significant role in the Holocaust. Okay, that they were cleaning up people. They were getting rid of people that they considered to be unnatural. The Jews were considered unnatural. They're made in God's image according to Genesis, and they don't fit into our natural scheme of things. And so we're going to get rid of them. And this
but, yeah, the Nazi, from what you've found, they were actually looking at the Jew as an invasive species.
Exactly.
And we all know what we want to do with invasive species, don't
we? The whole invasive species dialogue, diatribe that we have today, that was also born in Nazi Germany. If you think about it, they got their racism. They got their, you know, really the idea of indigenous movement and environmentalism being fused together, that began in Germany in the 1800s. We call it Romanticism. That's the doctrine of indigenous, you know, I'm native to my own country, to my own soil, to my own, you know, natural world in which I live in. Okay, that really became very powerful in Germany. And so this became part of the bread and butter of National Socialism, even in the 1930s. And so they had a program called Blood and Soil, where, you know, blood, my blood, German blood, and German soil was part of their thinking. And so they tried to blend those two things together. And when you blend German blood with German soil, that also helped produce the foundations for what we call sustainable development, see? And sustainable development is different than conservationism. Sustainable development is actually much more restrictive. It's actually it's more of a name where you...
It's a way of getting rid of man, the ultimate invasive species.
Yeah. So. We need to get back to conservationism, okay? And see, most Americans, and if you sit down and talk to them, they are conservationists. What they don't understand is how environmentalism is very different than conservationism. And they're being snowed by environmentalism, and they think conservationism, see?
And one of the things that I've found is that
they don't know the difference.
Yeah, a lot of the big forestry companies are actually paradigms of conservation because they have a private interest, ownership interest in making sure that when they cut down trees, there's going to be other trees to cut down, that they're not going to just have a one-off, and then what do they do 10 years from now for making a living? So they're planning ahead by constantly replenishing, which I think is a main tenet of conservation. But it's anathema, it would seem, to the Nazi oak mentality, because the object isn't to have something that's continuously usable for man, but to be continuously unusable and unused.
Yeah, the whole point of the master race was that they were more in tune with nature than anybody else. See? I mean, it's the opposite of what you and I think. We think of the master race like these guys are, you know, above everything. Well, no. Their whole mentality was, we are the master race because we blend in with, you know, we blend in with nature, blend in with the soil, blend in with the trees, and the natural history of Germany reflects our natural values. So that's what the master race means. And of course, you don't even hear about that kind of stuff either. But one thing I wanted to bring up earlier, Aldo Leopold, he brought really he was sort of leaning that direction already, but he was a conservationist back in the 1920s. He was starting to lean more toward environmental values in the 1920s. But then in the early 30s, he goes to, actually 35, he goes to Nazi Germany. When he comes home, he really gets completely converted to what we would call deep ecology. And what he saw in Germany was that there was no wilderness left. And so the big wilderness push, the wilderness drive, really was led by him after he came home from Nazi Germany. We need to preserve as much wilderness as possible. And even he dragged home the Never Cry Wolf cult also from Nazi Germany, too. The first country in the world to protect wolves was Nazi Germany. And Hitler loved wolves, okay? This was his favorite animal. And, you know, there's, you know, he called the SS, for example, his pack of wolves. So the SS, you know, they're basically cleaning up the herd. They're going to, you know, the whole eugenics enterprise, you know, that they're going to clean up the blood. They view themselves as wolves cleaning up the herd of Germany.
I guess I could look at them as wolves, too, but probably from a slightly different perspective.
This was a compliment coming from the Fuhrer. He called himself Uncle Wolf. Okay, that's what everybody, when they talked to him, that was his sort of, you know, his nickname. A lot of the things that Volkswagens, for example, were made in Wolfsburg. Think of the, you know, the submarines out there. They call them the Wolf Pack. Okay. You know, even the Nazis, the Panzers, they call them tigers. Okay. I mean, see, they're all named after animals, wild animals, predators. Very interesting to me is that when they got done in Treblinka, probably in Sobibor, again, some of these things, it's one death camp or another, and you don't know if they actually practice it universally in every death camp. But when the SS got done killing all the Jews, they cleaned up the camp, and then they planted lupins on top of them. Well, lupins are wolf flowers. Okay, lupin is the only, lupin, that means wolf. And lupins are the only wolf, the only flower that a wolf can eat without, it's poisonous for most other animals, but wolves can eat without a problem. And they planted lupin flowers on top of the Jews. It's kind of like, okay, we've done our wolf job, we're done. And, just an amazing discussion about wolves. And Aldo Leopold brought that wolf mentality home with him to America, made the wilderness push because Germany had no wilderness left. And so our environmentalism is more wild.
We make mining companies fill in their mine excavation work, and the Nazis were doing something comparable. You got to cover over the pits where all the bodies are buried.
Well, there's some stories that we could talk about there, too. But, for example, in Auschwitz, 1941, all the SS guys, the SS was very green. Okay, if you want to look at the most green aspect of National Socialism, you got to remember you got different – National Socialism is a big movement. Okay, you've got different groups of people. You've got the SA. You've got the SS. Okay, you've got the Gestapo. Okay, you've got different people and different – and, of course, you've got Hermann Göring and his bunch. And but the SS was the greenest faction of the Nazi Party, and they were all into the green movement. They were into organic farming. They looked at the Dust Bowl. See, that was the big discussion back in the 1930s. It wasn't global warming; it was the Dust Bowl. And look what these Puritans, what they did to the American West. And stormwater management, for example, because the Dust Bowl was largely born also in Nazi Germany. And the SS was involved with this. How do we control the water so it doesn't get off the land so quickly, and we want to preserve, we don't want to get rid of that water that hits a roof and goes into a gutter and goes out the ecosystem. We want to try to preserve our landscape so it doesn't turn into a dust bowl like those silly Americans. See, that was their thinking.
They certainly were concerned about that dust bowl. Let's kill a few more Jews and then we can go to bed. Talking about Nazi oaks, the underpinning of the Nazi movement, a blend of paganism and all kinds of ideas that we're discussing now with Reverend Mark Musser. And we're going to be back and continue the discussion. Don't go away.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-686-1063. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are, I will find you. Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-686-1063. 1-800-686-1063.
30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
And we are talking about Nazi Oaks, a book written by Mark Musser. He's a graduate of Evergreen State University, a center of environmental extremism, I guess we could say, and very, very hard left in many of the professors. You're probably persona non grata there at Evergreen. They would like to forget that you ever attended, I'm sure.
They don't talk about me. So, however, several years ago, they said that Mark Musser, a graduate, produced Nazi Oaks, but they didn't say what the book was about. So they just sort of gave me credit. They like to see, one of the things that Evergreen did, they emphasized writing. There was no test, that type of stuff, but they did force you to write. And that probably helped me become a writer as well. And so they like to advertise the people that write books, from their college.
Well, they have only themselves to blame if they encourage you to write.
Exactly. So anyway, a lot of things there still, but it was all – from a twisted point of view. The facts were all there, but it's how they interpreted them that was the problem.
Many years ago, I went to another liberal university, American University. I'm sure they don't count me as one of their greatest accomplishments, even though I've gone on to head up a large national conservative organization. That's just not something that they're all that happy to talk about. I wanted to make sure we had covered something you had wanted to mention, and we were just heading into a break, and I'm not sure we've gotten back to it, differentiating between the environmental movement views in Europe and here in the United States.
Actually, we did cover that.
Okay.
See, in Germany, there was no wilderness left. See, and so their idea of environmentalism is more what I call environmental social engineering over private property. See, because we didn't mention that specific point, but see, because there was no wilderness left, they became more interested in environmental preservation over your private property. Now, today, this is really a lot of people don't realize how much environmental rules are really running our country with regard to private property. Anytime mm-hmm. you want a house, build a house. For example, in Seattle now, it's up to half the price of a home is wrapped up in environmental red tape.
So, wow.
Yeah, no, people don't realize how much environmentalism costs. It is
super- Those Nazi oaks are costly.
They are, yeah. So a home, this is a University of Washington study back in 2008 or 9, I can't remember the exact year, but they did a study. $400,000 home in Seattle, $200,000 is all soaked up in environmental red tape. Okay, when you, anytime construction site you see today, you see these huge stormwater ponds. I'm sure you've seen them. They dig them out and they got.
Sure.
Okay, that's really expensive. They're also limiting land in the process. And that's all stormwater, what we call stormwater management. And many of those ideas were largely born by the SS back in the 1930s. They're looking at the Dust Bowl, and they want to slow down that water from going out to the ecosystem.
You're contaminating my drive to my office because I go by one.
Every stormwater pond you look at, you can think of a particular Nazi. His name was Alwin Seifert, and the Nazis called him Wild Alwin, and he was all into really pushing, trying to preserve as much water as possible in development when you develop land.
I go by a Nazi oak, as it were, on my way to the office when I go by that retention pond.
Yes, a little bit of the, you got a little bit of a history there. And see, this history needs to be known. And people think that the environmental movement showed up out of nowhere in the 1960s. That's not true. A lot of it was really born in Germany, especially the robust philosophy of it. By the way, something also very important, Kurt Waldheim, he was an Austrian Nazi. Okay, he was actually running. He began the United Nations Environmental Programs in 1972. He was in charge of it. And later on, in the 1980s, they find out this guy was a Nazi. Okay, and he basically started what we call UNEP, United Nations Environmental Program. Another important person that we ignore is Gunther Schwab. He was the first guy to really talk about global warming, to popularize it back in the 1950s. And he was an Austrian Nazi as well. Back then they called him conservationist, but they were more environmentalist. And he was talking about all the environmental litany we see today as early back as the 1950s. So again, this idea that environmentalism began with the hippie movement in the 1960s in America is false, okay? It's largely rooted in Germany. The guy that started what we call social Darwinism, eugenics, okay, in Germany. His name is Ernst Haeckel. Okay, well, he's the very man who coined the term ecology in 1866. So ecology, eugenics, environmentalism, biology, okay, social Darwinism, those things were all wrapped up into one holistic one, okay, and his thinking. In fact, he started a group, very politically active, environmentally speaking, too. He called it the Monist League. And monism means one. Mono means one. And so the idea is holism. By the way, fascism, what does that mean? It means holism. Okay, so what we are lopping off is we have no people outside of nature. We have no people outside of, we're not made in God's image, okay? We want to put everybody underneath the circle of life, and you can't get out of it. And this is why totalitarian, really, if you think about holism, it means totalism. It means totalitarianism. And so,
it's interesting that this environmental movement, while in Germany, it viewed the Jew as the ultimate invasive species.
Yeah, no, he's right. He sits outside that circle, and we gotta clean it up.
But here, it seems as if all of mankind are outside this circle, at least if we're wearing shoes and driving cars. I guess the only way we can be acceptable is if we're running around naked with a bow and arrow.
Well, the Nazis weren't into that either. You got to think about, they viewed themselves, I try to illustrate this, maybe the best way I can think about this is, remember John Madden, of course, he would talk about, we got these professionals out there and they can't block and tackle anymore. Okay, we need to get back to basics so we can improve our blocking and tackling. Okay, well, the Nazis, when they look back on, I'm not trying to compare John Madden, I love football and all that stuff, so don't think I'm calling them Nazis. Anyway, with the Nazis, they wanted to get back to the original, let's get back to basics, let's get back to nature so we can clean things up and go forward. So what you have is an interesting blending of romanticism and progressivism. But that's actually how they work. They work side by side, okay? For example, even in Christianity, okay, as another example, you want to get back to the Bible. You go back to the source. For what purpose? To help purify the church again, see? So you
and you go back to a written standard that's not open to anybody's particular favorite view, which, among other things, Nazism is, socialism in general, is of that view that, well, whatever the leading lights of the movement divine to be the truth, that will be the truth. And there's not that written standard that hasn't budged for millennia.
That's the whole point, see, is that nature is, you can interpret any way you want to. And we have a written standard to go back to, and that's the big difference, a huge difference. And
it's sort of like the Queen of Hearts. I think it was she that could believe eight different things before breakfast.
Okay.
And these are the folks that we're talking about. A bunch of mad hatters running around like the Queen of Hearts, believing eight different things before breakfast, none of which are written down.
Yeah, no, see, this is part of the problem, is we have a lot of madness going on in our country right now. You can see it everywhere. People can't think anymore, and the reason why is because they've adopted these environmental philosophies deeply, and they can't think straight, and because nature now is now their guide, and this is leading to nothing but trouble.
How can you think straight if your thinking is always evolving? And we've certainly seen that happen to the Second Amendment for a long time, well into the last century. The view was that the Second Amendment meant something totally different from what the language actually says. And if we didn't have a written constitution, as much as we've disregarded it, I think we'd have been toast. But we did have that to point to. And in this ecology movement, there's nothing written to point to, so they can do any bloody thing they want.
Well, they write whatever they want to, basically. Do you remember the old show that came out in 1970, Centennial, with James Michener? Remember that?
I don't, but then I'm a cultural dropout, so...
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, James Michener, he's written many books. You've heard of James Michener, an author.
That I've heard of.
Yeah, okay, he has lots of long histories.
Right, okay. Big books.
And he did one on America. And if you stop to think about what happened to the American Western on Hollywood, okay, it did basically disappear in the 1970s, and we became more environmentally thinking with regard to Westerns. And you can actually see this in the...
No more John Wayne.
Yeah, John Wayne, he died in 79. Hollywood died with him. Okay, and after that, there's no replacement, and except for the environmental...
Well, that's a pretty good end point for our discussion, because we certainly have seen some changes. But happily, because of your book, Nazi Oaks, I think we can see what's been happening a lot more clearly, and I hope people are going to get a copy of Nazi Oaks. Thank you very much, Reverend Mark Musser. We hope that in your readout there, close to the heart of the beast, that you'll be able to continue.
Thank you.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
If there's a toxic chemical biological gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ASE-safety.com. That's ASE-safety.com. And get up to 40% off, plus free shipping.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place. And the best part? It's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for
details at 972-575-8875. Soul Arc EMP hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent pending technology.